morning. Today is Wednesday, January the 24th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor Rex Bone. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Been a couple weeks.
It has been.
No cold, huh?
No cold. No flu, no nothing.
Yeah, good. Congratulations.
I'm healthy. I mean, I don't know what the deal is, but...
Yeah, nobody gets close enough to you.
Sick mind, healthy body, I guess.
Our quote this morning comes from Abraham Lincoln. Most folks are about as happy as they make up their mind to be. Yeah.
There's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So now you've been officially ensconced, trapped,
I was
nailed,
sworn in.
Sworn in as...
That's exactly what Senator McGuire said. I get to swear him in and swear at him.
Yeah.
He swore me in last week as a chair of RCRC, so my duties with that organization increase a little bit. Our voice and rural voices will be hopefully a little bit louder as our organization is...
Because you know how to yell louder than the other guy?
Yeah. Squeaky wheel does get the grease. I don't care what you say.
I understand that one. It's got to be a bit of a challenge now for you and looking statewide with the fires and with the fix-up of the fires. I would like to think Sonoma County is not a rural county.
Well, it's really funny. Sonoma County is probably, and I'll speak out of turn here, they are probably going to join RCRC, and they will be the biggest county in there. But they have two, Linda and James Gore, there are two districts that are distinctly the Healdsburg, Clover, you know.
They do have rurals, but they've also got a nice-sized metropolitan.
But they're, both of those districts are pretty much rural. Linda is out... the Gravenstein Highway out Sebastopol out that way, and James Gore's Healdsburg and moving in that way, and the fires really devastated his district. But they have a lot of the same issues we have, rural issues, and they would like to be included because we hit on a lot of those. Rural broadband, we're really really big into rural broadband. We're, you know, the infrastructure, the USDA rural policy, who just got a new director, which is Kim Doble Van, who's a former supervisor from Colusa. She's actually still sitting in that chair till the end of the year, but she just got appointed as the director of the USDA Rural Policies, which is a huge position. They fund and do low interest loans to a lot of rural issues. They do public safety buildings. They're into health care. Broadband, it's the USDA arm of that, and she's a former chair of RCRC also, so it's great having her there. She spoke at my first meeting and said that there's money there that can be allocated that the federal government has, and we're looking forward to taking advantage of that and using our federal partners as much as we try to use our state partners and leverage anything we can.
Is it fair to ask, what's the number one challenge with rural counties? Because I would think the coastal rural is different than the valley rural, is different than the mountain rural, north is different than desert. Is there one unifying challenge?
The opioid crisis comes to the top of the pack. I mean, that's the drug use issue comes to the pack.
But that's not rural specifically.
No, but that's not rural specifically. Broadband tends to hit rural because the big telecommunications company can put all their money into a 1 mile square area of LA and cover most everything that the rural has. I use this statistic. It's we're 53.5% of the land mass with these 35 rural counties, but we're only 9.5% of the population. So it's just, if you want cash flow or votes, we tend not to be getting noticed a lot.
Well, is that then... It sounds like you wouldn't be needing to involve then more regulatory, PUC, things of that nature, which is kind of an enigma for a lot of us in the rural areas. Oh, we're not here.
No, air quality issues. For us on the Northern California, for us in drought issues, one size does not fit all. And when they start putting issues together on the state that they're having probably in an urban area or, the more populous area, and they're hearing more chatter about this happening to them, we don't notice it. And
so would broadband be similar to the subsidies that were in place for airline service in the past years that
rolled
out?
It's just getting the product. And
on an ROI, you can't find fault with these guys to put it where the money is.
No, you can't. But to get the contracts, to use the airwaves, those are all publicly auctioned off parts of it. They have to get online to service. I mean, we're going through now servicing. I think we need.
So this is cell phone, not internet.
This is cell phone, internet, everything. It's the whole gamut. It's just that, because right now rural hospitals, especially rural hospitals, Teladoc is so much more important. Is so important because even up here, we suffer. But Jared Phelps in Southern Humboldt needs
Phelps
that good connection.
You think of Sutter,
you think of all those things. So. Digital 299, we're running digital 299. We just got $47 million worth of funding for that. And we're just a little bit short, but they'll be able to do a digital 299. So they'll be able to do a trunk line, do a line all the way across. And now we have to worry about getting it fed out. And there was even talk of putting a cloud facility over in like a place like Weaverville or something like that, because they need a large area to put all that equipment, and it needs to stay somewhat cool. Summertime be a little warm, but I mean overall, and you can get a workforce to work it too. They can bring people over who'd love to live up in those type of areas.
Yeah, it certainly is a hospitable area.
It truly is. I mean,
8 out of 12 months.
Exactly.
I'm not sure if February and August would qualify. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19. We will be back with more from Rex.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, looking at some of the various things that rural areas have, you mentioned air quality, and I think a lot of folks go, air quality? What do you mean? We're the guys that have got the clean air. So when you mention air quality, what's the challenge for the rural counties?
Well, on air quality, and I serve on the Air Quality Board, North Coast Air Quality Board, with supervisor from Del Norte, supervisor from Trinity, and two of us here, and then the Mayor Sue Long. We have a local governing board, and the people that used to have our issues, our biggest issues, Snoozy are up there, the flake board plant up there in Crescent City, the flake board plant in Arcata, our two pulp mills. You start looking at we've lost a lot of those point sources and stuff like that, but there are other point sources that we have to stay on top of. But I heard a comment the other day, one of these forest fires we had, in 2.5 days, releases as much greenhouse gases as all the California cars in a year. Now, for all the money that we spend and having special gas, catalytic converters, everything we do to our industries, the tier one, tier two, tier three motors for our commercial vehicles, the generators, for everything we do, it seems to me if we put a little bit more money into our forests and maybe have a few less forest fires, then we'd really be doing something. But the idea of creating an agency to regulate a motorized, something else, and I mean, I saw the other day, there was a bill introduced in the assembly, I think it was the assembly, that there will be no gas-powered cars sold after 2040. I think it was Assemblyman or Senator Ting. I'm just guessing now, I think. But I had it on my desk. They've got a picture of the back end of a Tesla, which, I mean, I appreciate all that, but I really we're going to have to figure out how to, these cars weigh the same, they travel the same, we're going to have to figure out how to take care of our roads if we're not going to have a road tax.
Yeah, I would think that it might be laudable, but not too practical.
And I truly believe by the year 2040, I think we're probably going to be seeing 50, 60, 70% of all cars will probably be electrical the way it's going now.
Might be, but consider all just the amount of commerce that comes through the state that are licensed from folks outside
exactly.
of California.
Exactly. I don't know what the PUC is going to do, you know, like they do on trucks that come from outside the state, how to get their mileage and stuff like that. Because they bill a truck from Oregon when they come into California. You have to pay road miles here. You just don't get to travel them for free on the commercial end. Much like we do in Oregon. They've got, you know, so that's, we do have to be cognizant of that. But this is something that has been introduced.
There's a mindset there that certainly is unique. Is that one of the bigger challenges, is to get some of the bureaucratic authors, get them outside of the metropolitan areas?
We talked
How
about
dragging their butt out into the woods or out in the desert or up here for a fish, and let them touch, feel, and see, and perhaps understand that while they may live in the concrete jungle or they may have a two-hour commute and it's wall-to-wall traffic, ain't necessarily that way throughout the entire state.
I will tell you that I've been to two or three different meetings where Senator McGuire and Assemblyman Woods have brought up their counterparts from L.A., from the urban area, to show them life is a little bit different up here, a little more challenging, a little more fun, a lot less headaches, a little less variety. You know, I mean,
we can see the stars where we are. We can
do the plus and minuses all you want.
Right.
But the thing is, when you have a problem that you need to put a tariff on a 8-story building when it's being built, and it's going to be
we got trees that big, but that's about it.
Yeah, we don't have to get in that game. So we need to look, you know, at what's available to us, what works, you know. And I mean,
could there be something? I just flashed this. I don't know if it's a goofy idea or not. But when when most of these things come through, have it county specific. And if it's all 58, then it's all 58 counties are listed. If it's only something that's applicable for certain counties, specifically list those counties. The Coastal Commission, you mentioned air quality, and a bunch of these others. Well, if the focus is Southern California, defined by us, right, south of San Francisco, list those coastal counties. Don't make it applicable to Delaware County if you're talking about no building of large commercial blah, 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 blah in the coastal. You know, they'd love to have an inquiry,
yeah.
let alone be the fifth one in line like some of these folks are.
Well, and I think most bills that are introduced are probably centric to that person's district.
Oh, of course. That's what they're voting for.
I don't know if there's that much looking into it, but you have to remember all the other districts have to vote for it. And that's part of the problem. You know, all the other assemblymen, they don't look at the internet and say, okay, we got this. But that's part of the problem is, you know, they play the game, I'll vote for yours if you vote for mine, just like they do anything else in politics. But the issue comes to play is sometimes when you get something that will help a suburban/urban area, we're somewhat fortunate, but you have to remember we get great input from our assemblyman and our senator, but they also represent Sonoma and Marin.
Right. Yeah. So we would get slammed. You know. Think of Trinity County.
I think they wait. I think they get
forgotten by everybody, but they have to play by the same rules across the board that these folks that have got more government employees than they have trees.
Yeah, you're right. And I think Trinity County, but they have a new CAO. I got to meet him this week, great guy has some great ideas. Is getting ready to move up there, so he'll be in the thick of it. And they do have challenges because, what is it, 90% of their property is state or federally owned. So I mean, your money resource. That's why we all secure rural schools and our payment in lieu and taxes. Our PILT is one of our RCRC's major battles, and that's, we fight that all the time. It doesn't add up to much, but somebody like Trinity County, you know, for us it's a few hundred thousand. For
percentage
them, it's
wise
more.
It counts.
It's huge when you consider the size of the budget. It just doesn't seem like a lot.
Yeah, well, when you stack it up against some of the other budget issues.
Million here, a million there, pretty soon you got 2 million.
Yeah. It's 8:30.
Thank you. could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bone. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redick, and by Lolita Cheese. Rex, are there challenges that are coming up through the pipeline for ag, for forestry, for things of that nature that RCRC, the Rural Counties Group, is going to get behind either in favor of and help grease the skids, or to get people to recognize that, you know, while it may be applicable for L.A. County or for Sonoma County or Marin County, it doesn't play that well up here by the state line.
One of our biggest issues and one of our advocacy issues is biomass, because obviously all the biomass, the 54 biomass plants that are in California, the 20-some-odd that are still running are obviously all in rural timber counties.
Biomass, you mean burning up the leftover wood products?
Timber waste and, you know, and not just the leftover sawmill waste. Dead and dying trees. That is Tuolumne and that area down there coming up all the way up through Shasta.
Sonoma County's got a couple.
You were referencing
it earlier.
Really.
The down stuff.
The dead and dying trees. 29 million more trees due to the bark beetle, you know, exacerbated with the drought. 29 million more trees died are on the list of the CDF website as being hazardous trees and dying. And the biggest problem in a lot of these areas, up through the Sierras and stuff like that, there's a lot of smaller communities. There's a lot of summer communities. People have their little cabins and stuff like that. They'll have a half-acre parcel that'll have 40 trees on it. 39 trees will be dead. These are 40, 60, 80-foot trees. They have to cut them because they're dead. They're going to fall over. And when they fall over, they fall on things.
Right, yeah, you want to make sure they go the right way.
It is a huge thing, because for one thing, if you know, they've been fighting the fact if you bring in a tree company and you're going to pay them, because they're subsidizing a lot of these people to get these trees down, because it also is, if they haven't burnt already, another increased fire hazard. So they're trying to get all these dead and dying trees down, especially in residential or near residential areas. But if they use government money to subsidize getting them down, does it have to be a prevailing wage job when some of these guys,
it's a nightmare.
Yeah, and you're bringing in the timber falls to it. So it's a huge issue. We're very fortunate that we're one of the few counties that have come up that way that do not have this issue. Now that we have some rain and things, the trees come, but when the trees are at a weakened state, when they're drought conditioned, the bark beetle just took them over. There are swaths of hundreds of thousands of eggs just dying. You do flyovers. California's CDF has a wonderful website on showing all the dead trees, and it's pretty amazing. They've got to do something with it. Now they're looking at cellulose lumber, grinding it up using cellulose lumber. It's a new form, like an OSB, but it's a little bit different. They're actually building a 6-story building in Portland, Oregon. Tom Steyer, the guy you always see on TV, mad at everybody.
Right.
Anyway,
right.
Tom Steyer is it's a bank that he founded, or his wife is invested in.
Now, is this
in.
Using the diseased trees?
No, this is using.
Or you grind
this
it
is
up
actually coming.
Then...
This I think the it's a new tech. It's a new
resin or something.
Yeah, it's and they create it through a cellulose. It's basically a cellulose lumber, and so they are planning and hoping pushing this.
Hopefully, it's by a no smoking area.
Yeah. hopefully, they're pushing this to they're doing big tests to see if they can use these dead and dying trees. So
current status is these folks that are suffering with the diseased trees are having to pay prevailing wage?
No, that was something they worked through. I mean, these were things that RCRC had to help them to get, you know, to say, hey.
Oh, that would negate any benefit unless the whole project.
It really did. It was taking people. There wasn't a class of trade for that, so it was but we still have to get them out. There are piles of trees in some areas, they say, that are 100 yards long and 30 feet high because they take them to a general area. And,
well, you know what we used to call them? Log decks.
Log decks, yeah. And the problem being is most of these trees are not the ones. Some they have been. They used a lot over on the lake fire. They got in there and got them down quick. You know, we've tried to do it up in Oregon and everywhere else, and they get sued till they, the trees are, you know, been down on the ground. Till they're down. Well, no, till the, you know, in a burned area, and then the they get sued for.
Oh, the harvest.
Yeah, yeah, the harvest of the burned trees.
Now, wasn't Merv George going to try to chase that a little bit?
Merv has been. Merv's doing a great job. Merv up there at the wildlife or at the National Forest Service if something's going on in your area, if something's going on, you need to know about. Merv lets you know. I've never seen such openness with it. Direct line phone call. We just have never had that before at that level, and he's letting everybody know. And he's also knowing. I mean, we used to take off 200 million feet off our national forest, and I don't think we took off a million last year. And I'm just paraphrasing, but I'm pretty sure we didn't do much. And we saw ourselves, but we also know if we can up the cut a little bit, that we can also use that for forest management. You know.
So will RCRC get into federal issues like that?
Oh yeah, yeah. We go back to Washington D.C. and spend a week lobbying for federal. Yeah, we're a huge advocacy legislative organization. We're a block away from the Capitol. We have people. We have legislative analysts. We have a team of legislative analysts do water, air, timber resources. You know, wicked, wicked smart people.
Department of Interior is primarily where the game gets played.
Yeah, we'll meet with the chief of Department of Interior when we go back in the end of February, 1st of March. We go back.
KINS News and Information Times 8:42. We'll be back with more from Rex.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the shopping show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next shopping show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, kind of playing on the home front here, just a tad. What sense do you have about the budget? You guys are right on the cusp of starting that whole process. Good, medium, so-so. What are you sensing?
Well, this is where I always appreciate our choice of CAO and Amy Nielsen, because she's very reserved. She doesn't overstate. She doesn't plan a budget and put stuff out in front of us that makes us think, wow, we've got more money than we need. She's always telling us, be careful. And right now, I mean, case in point, I walk into the office the other day, and I needed to ask her something. They're having a meeting. And so what's going on? She says, our roof's leaking. Well,
the courthouse roof.
Courthouse roof. Yeah, so when you hear that, I mean, I was thinking, I saw the other day what they... The money they had to spend, I just happened to read in the paper, they did the roof at the police department the other day. So, and I got thinking, oh, my God, and it's not a pretty picture. But, you know, with our ADA edict, with you know, just facilities that we have to fix, we have a backlog, our PERS backlog, which we're paying into.
That's what I was going to ask you about PERS last Friday. I asked Karen Deemer about relief from the PERS because of the robustness that the stock market has had, and so much of the PERS is committed into that, if there was any relief for the city because of that fixed liability. And she said it's been so bad for so long that the catch-up period is going to take an elongated period of time. So while the trend is good, not so much immediate relief at this point.
Yeah, you know, and we've talked about it. In 2012, the state, and Humboldt County was actually predated the state, changed the retirement rules, you know, to 2%. And instead of 55, you're going, you know, 50 for public city, they went to 55. And for the other people, you had to go to 62, which will make a significant difference in PERS in about, now they're saying another 8 or 9 years. Because as the rollover people have to, they can't pull up. Because, I mean... Obviously, people are living longer. we can't operate under the formula of 40 years ago when our average, you know, life expectancy was 69. Now we're up to 77. So, I mean, you're looking at 10% more, and they didn't plan for it. I always laugh that I think 4 out of the top 10 highest paid people in the state of California are PERS executives. But they're financial wizards, good, bad, or indifferent. So we're having to face that. Our, you know, when you look at it, our check today, if we had to write it all, is $200 and some odd million. But I mean, is the number I keep hearing and something like that. But we have been paying into it, and we're bringing that down. And again, this is retirement that was promised to people when they went to work for whatever entity they worked for, and they paid into it also. This was part of their payment plan. So you hear a lot about that the cushy government retirement. Well, I mean, you make your choice, you know, and I'm not advocating for or against or anything else, but I really do feel for the employees that have retired, because they put their time in, they worked really hard. We were talking about a Don Raffelli, who just recently passed away, spent 43 years working for Humboldt County. He put in a full shift.
It's too bad he's not right here. Say 43 out of the 70 that you were there.
Yeah. Great guy. But anyway, yeah, I'm just exactly. saying, and they retired, and they deserve that retirement. How we managed it and the promises that were made is what has to be changed. They didn't make those agreements.
Exactly. That was handled at staff level, yeah. At different staff level.
They didn't negotiate their retirement. That was written in stone when they got hired.
Yeah.
We're just having to break the stone down.
Yeah, I just try to back away from the edge. Yeah. Thanks for coming by, bud.
You bet. Appreciate it very much.
And formal congrats on the RCRC.
Yep, I'm looking forward to it.
See everybody tomorrow.